I want you to turn to Solomon if you haven't already turned there, and I'm sure most of you have. You know where we are. And chapter number 4, and if you would stand, while we'll stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the songs that we've enjoyed today. Lord, for the Spirit of God that has settled my soul and helped me in this hour to stand where I'm at and prepare my heart to preach the Word of God. Thank You for Your people that have come to worship. I pray that You'll bless them. God, that You'll present Yourself in our midst today that we might worship. May the Spirit of God magnify Thy name and Thy power, Thy presence to us in this place, Thy purity and holiness. I pray for every heart, Lord, that You'd move it and touch it. Save that sinner that's without God today and standing on the brink of the abyss, without hope, staring the pit in the face, knowing, Lord, that they're facing a Christless eternity. May You save them by Your grace, I pray. Help Your people in every need that they have. I pray You'll provide liberty to the preacher. Help me, Lord, to stand without apology this morning and proclaim that what God has laid upon my heart, and help us to lay it to our heart. Bless and move and get glory at everything that is said and done. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. In verse number 3, our text this morning, Solomon, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, the last phrase of that, said, "Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks." A piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Now, by way of recollection, I believe this will make the third message that I have brought to you on the temples of the bride. And I may not be able to do anything this morning but bring you a little Sunday school lesson. But I'm going to give you what God has laid on my heart. And I want to try, if God will help me, I hope that He will, and add some meat to the skeleton of the outline that I have. But I hope the Lord will touch it. I want to preach this morning on the thought, soft feelings. Soft feelings. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, where on heaven's name you get that thought from?" I believe my boy will know where it come from if he'll think for a little while. Several years ago, when he was just a little toe-headed boy, I forget where we were, even it might have been in Arizona, might have been in South Carolina, in Livermore, I'm not sure. Time's gotten away from Preacher Hall. But he was into something he oughtn't have been into, you know, like a lot of little boys get into. And I scolded him a little bit for it, not very harshly, just a little bit. And I noticed him puckering up just somewhat, you know, and tears swelling up in his eyes. And I inquired at his hand. I said, "What in the world? Or what's wrong with you?" And his response was, he said, "Daddy, you know that I've got soft feelings." And, you know, looking back on that, I think it's good for God's people in particular ways to have soft feelings. I do believe that in these last days especially, that we've grown just a little bit hard, if you please, in the heart. The Bible said that in the last days, that because iniquity would abound, that the love of many would wax cold. And I'm confident that we're living in those frigid last days when God's people have gotten cold, not only toward the Lord, but probably toward one another and toward the work and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that coldness has brought on a callous spirit. And a callous spirit means that we have gotten somewhat hard-hearted toward the things of God. And I won't try to preach on soft feelings. I believe our feelings ought to be somewhat moistened by the good love of God. They ought to be tenderized by the presence of the Holy Ghost. And you and I today ought to be able occasionally to be soft enough toward God that we might even shed a little tear or two. For they that goeth forth and weepeth and beareth precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. And so I think that our feelings ought to be made a little soft. I mean lighten up a little bit. Don't be so hard-hearted toward the brethren. Don't be so difficult toward obedience to the Word of God. And don't be so harsh to your children, but subdue them in a proper way. And don't be so hard-hearted toward one another in the house, but be loving and kind and have a compassionate spirit toward one another. Now, Christ, in our text, is describing the beauty of the church, and He mentions her temples. Now, the temples being of very thin flesh, making them a very tender place in the body, and a location where the beat of the heart is easily found. And this may refer to the church in her tenderheartedness. Yes, sir. I tell you, the temple is a very tender place in a man's body. And without a doubt here, our Lord is saying to His bride, when He mentions the temples being like pieces of pomegranate within her locks, is trying to remind her of how delicate her heart really is. I'm telling you, the heart is a delicate thing today. Yes, sir. It is easily deceived by the devil. It's easily led away by the lust of our own flesh. It is easily, my friend, to be offended. The heart is a very tender, tender thing. And but that tenderness, brother, can be a blessing to us if we'll allow it to be. Now, I'm not talking about some mushy mouth moron that's all caught up in what the charismatics call agape love. I'm talking about having a biblical, tender heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the church that He died for, and for the people of God that make up the church, and especially the people of God at Island Ford Baptist Church. May God help us to realize that we once were hard-hearted, disobedient, led away with divers lusts and divers manners, walking in the course of this world, being led astray by the power of Satan, and were hard-hearted toward the gospel. In fact, so hard-hearted that we hated the gospel. We were at enmity with Almighty God. But all that day, church, when we looked up into the face of the Son of God as He yielded His life on the cross of Calvary, did not your heart melt within your bosom when you looked into the eyes of Him that loved you and willingly gave His life for you? It ought to be like Peter. When the Lord turned and looked at Peter, knowing that He had betrayed Him, the Bible said that one glance at the eyes of the Lord and Peter's heart broke in two, and he went out and wept bitterly. Somebody knowing we're right quick to jump on Peter for betraying the Lord. But I want to say, my friend, that we'll doubt Him, even deny Him, grow lazy on God, and He'll look at us through the Bible, look at us through the preaching of the Word of God, and it does not seem to faze us one iota. I want to say that Peter, at least, my friend, had a tender enough heart that when he looked into the eyes of the Son of God, that God melted that cold heart and broke that calloused heart, letting the sunlight of His love shine through. And it happened, my friend, because Peter had a tender heart toward God. Now, don't run off and leave me. There's no greater beauty, I don't think, to be found in a man than that of a tender heart.
Amen.
Moses was a man of great strength. He wasn't nobody's little wimp. He had great leadership abilities. And yet, the Lord said, that no man ever lived that was as meek as what Moses was. But when Israel sinned and built that golden calf, my friend, he judged their sin. But I'm going to tell you something else he did. He fell down before the Lord in intercession for them, and he was able to do that because of a tender heart toward those that he loved. In fact, Moses said, "Lord, either blot out their sin, and if not, blot my name out of the book of life." I want to tell you something, my friend. We're a far cry this morning from being tender-hearted enough that we could wish ourselves a curse from Christ for our kinsmen in the flesh. I want to ask you, do you love your child enough this morning, or your mama, or daddy, or grandpa, or grandma, or your next of kin, that you would be willing, if God would save them, that you yourself could be cut off and go to hell if God would just show mercy for those that you love and those you cherish dearly in your heart today?
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Israel sinned, built that golden calf, Moses is found making intercession for them. Our Lord, when rejected and forsaken by all and crucified, still He pled or pleads forgiveness for those that hated Him. What a tender heart that our Lord had, hanging between heaven and earth, rejected of all men, hated of all, being smitten, turned His back to the smiters and His cheek to those that plucked out the hair from it. And yet our Lord, my friend, being beaten at the Roman whipping post, was able to look up into God's lovely face and ask that God love forgive those that had committed such an atrocity. I'm telling you that God, those men that crucified Him had laid their hand on God. Are you hearing what I'm saying, my friend? Somebody said, "Preacher, that's not me." I beg to differ with you. A sinner is at enmity with God. And my friend, knowing that I laid my hand on the face of the Son of God, or that I laid a whip to the back of the Son of God, and yet on Calvary, in His last moments of life on this earth, my friend was willing to plead with God to forgive me of my sin. Oh, that does something in my heart that ought to melt us and break us and tender our heart and give us soft feelings today before God. Are y'all with me? Don't leave me. What about old brother Paul? Even Paul, being beaten and imprisoned by those that he loved, prayed that they might be saved. Huh? You think you could go to a whipping post? He was forsaken by them just like the Lord.
Amen.
He was imprisoned. Yes, sir. And yet he prayed that he himself could become accursed from Christ, even for his kinsmen in the flesh.
Amen.
I wonder if we've got that much tenderness in our hearts this morning.
Amen.
Hey, my friend, if we cannot be tender toward even one another, How will we ever show enough love of God in our heart that we might be a right witness and a testimony to those that are lost and without God? If we can't love one another that's saved, how in God's name will we ever love those that are caught up in the bonds of iniquity this morning? God help us. Hallelujah. Now stay right with me. And I won't be long. Tender hearted. What does it mean to really be tender hearted this morning? Now some of you, when I get done, you may be a little green around the gills. Because we're fixing to put the plow down. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you what Brother Paul said. He said in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another." Doing what, Brother Paul? Being tender-hearted and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you hear what I said? Christ hanging on the cross. That cry of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," was not just merely for those in the immediate surroundings of the cross. Son, that cry spanned all eternity, all humanity. When he said, "Father, forgive them," he meant entire humanity, for they know not what they do. And friend, God has forgiven you for Jesus' sake. It ain't a stinking thing you've done. It's not any worth you have of your own. But so you don't merit God's love. You don't merit grace. You and I ought to be in hell with our neck broke. But because of Calvary and what Christ has accomplished on Calvary, amen to God, we are forgiven by the Father for the Son's sake that loved us and gave Himself for us. Hallelujah to God. What a God. Now, I'm going to tell you, that ought to make us a tad bit tender-hearted. Amen. Are you listening to me? Some of you need to wake up this morning. Amen. Huh? Five things is about all I've got. If we are tender-hearted, we will be kind one to another. Amen. Huh? That's what the text said. "And be ye kind one to another." In the book of Luke, you don't need to turn there. But it's in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord is there giving us instruction on how we ought to conduct ourselves to our own humanity, to those around us. What ought to be our spirit and what ought to be our attitude about them. I'm going to tell you what He said. "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying, my friend, we ought to be kind not only to those that love us and are kind to us, but we ought to be love those and be kind to those that are very enemies. I'm talking about those that have set themselves in array against us, those that have verbally slandered us, those, my friend, that have talked about us, those that we know that hate us. God said that I'm kind to the unthankful man as well as the evil man. And if I'm kind to them, then for God's sake, you ought to have a tender enough heart to love your enemies this morning. Now, you know what the thought is there? Now, you hear me. He said, hoping for nothing again. I'm going to tell you why some folks are kind to other folks. Payback. Favor time. That's why a lot of preachers, my friend, they'll go out and preach for one man. Amen. And they'll tell you, I'm seeing it all over America, and it makes me puke. Everywhere you go, every time you have a preacher, he wants to have an offering for the pastor. Wants to buy a new car for the pastor. Wants to buy a new suit or a new shoe. I thank God for all that, but I'm here to tell you, I ain't never had to beg you for nothing. You've taken quite well of Brother Hall, and I'm not going out to try to raise an offering for somebody, hoping they'll come back to Island Ford Baptist Church and take an offering for me. I'm not going to be kind to somebody that they might be kind to me. I want to be kind to people because God has already been kind to me. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're not taking up an offering for Steve and trying to get some food for him, hoping he'll try to be kind back. We're going to give it because we love him. That's why we give it to Kelly and Ricky, because we love them. Yeah, many God expecting nothing in return. Somebody said, well, I'm going to give, and down the road, if I get in a pinch, they'll help me out. Well, we might do that if God lays it on our heart. But I'm going to tell you, if that's the only reason you're giving is give to get, friend, you're still in the gall of bitterness, and there's a hateful heart, amen, callous heart within your bosom. God help us to learn to give, expecting nothing back because of it. I say, my friend, if we're tender-hearted, we'll be kind one to another. We'll watch our speech. We'll guard our tongue. Huh? Our actions and our attitude. I'm going to tell you where a whole lot of unkindness shows up, the attitude. God, help God's people to get the right kind of spirit about them, the right attitude about them. Old critical spirit, murmuring spirit, critical attitude, hateful attitude, stuck up nose, amen, wrinkled up eyes. I told you what I was going to do. You might as well buckler down. I felt it coming. Hallelujah to God. But that's right. I'm getting tired of people sitting on the pews and wrinkling their nose up to somebody across from them. Stuck up, headed, high-minded. I'm here to tell you, my friend, there's no place in the family of God for a headed, high-minded individual. God said we ought to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that God would exalt us in due time. I'm here to tell you, rather than being headed and high-minded, we ought to be humble and kind toward one another in the house of God. Give and lend without expecting return for it. Return of favor. I won't say secondly, and we're hurrying, buddy. We ain't going to be here long today. Huh? I won't say secondly, we may bog here a few minutes. If we are tender-hearted, we will have a forgiven spirit. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, I didn't get this out of a book. This is my outline. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, friend, if we're tender, if we got some soft feelings, not only will we be kind to one another, but we'll forgive one another. How in God's name can you be forgive somebody and not be kind to them? Oh, it may be kindness on the outside, but on the inside, it's ravenous full of dead men's bones. It's like a whited sepulcher. I'm here to tell you, my friend, one of the most grievous things I'm satisfied in all the houses of God is those that sat on the pews with an unforgiven spirit. They're crossways to somebody at the house of God. Somebody didn't speak, maybe had diarrhea and didn't speak, and they thought it was terrible. Why didn't old brother so-and-so speak to me this morning? He just sat out there with his head between his legs. Son, maybe he's got eat too many green apples and he's got belly cramps. Amen to God. What are you saying, preacher? I've simply said that we ought to have a forgiving spirit in the house of God. Amen. I'm fixing to show you something about that. Why didn't somebody tell me I lost that piece of junk? Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen what the Lord said in Matthew. He said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Don't leave me now. But if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Oh my. I'm telling you, son, it is imperative that we do not harbor an unforgiven spirit in our heart. Because I'm telling you, my friend, if you fail to forgive your brother or sister in Christ, mark her down that the trespasses, not just one, will mount up higher than the heavens against you. Because if you will not forgive your own brother, God says, I will not forgive you. Somebody said, I'll pray and ask Him. If you've got an unforgiving spirit in your heart, you can cry like the prophets of Baal. You can waller on the floor like the charismatics. You can have a puke revival, whatever you want to have, friend. But God will not hear you. So I said, you have any scripture for that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. I said He won't even hear you. He won't even give you a noticeable nod, son. Heaven will be brash. Wait just a minute. Thank you. That's good stuff. Had that preacher boat out, Brother Brown, said, Brother Hall said, how come you carry that little novelty thing with you? I said, son, that's not novelty. That's a real McCoy. That's the stuff that's supposed to do the job. Huh? Hallelujah. It ain't a novelty. It's there for a purpose. Are you listening to me? Don't nobody leave me now. It is possible. Hey, could it be possible? Let me just say this before I do this point. You ever read the book of Philemon? Onesimus was a slave. And he ran off from his master Philemon. Wound up in stocks with Paul, and Paul wanted to go. Paul urged him to go back to his master. But he wrote Philemon a letter. He said, hey, in so many words, he said, you are going to have to forgive this man his trespass against you. In fact, Paul said, hey, put it on my account. If he's wronged you, put it on my account. I'm going to tell you what you better learn to do, son. If somebody's wronged you, put it on Christ's account. Just go to God in prayer and put her on His account this morning and get her under the blood that the blessings of God may be on us. Ain't that right? Now, I'm fixing to say something I think might rock some of you in your little boots. I want to ask you a question. How come some of you can get on the altar over and over and over, but you never seem to get victory over what you're on the altar for? Is it possible that why we struggle with sins and they continue to aggravate our minds is because they've never been forgiven? Oh, Brother Hall! But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, yes. But you cannot rightly confess your sins, friend, to God without getting your own self straightened up between you and your brother in Christ. Now, I'm here to tell you, two men that are crossways or two women that are crossways or there's animosity, you can shed her on the outside, utter it with your lips, cry crocodile tears, carry on, son, like a charismaniac fool. But I'm here to tell you, God looks on the heart, judges the heart, searches the heart, and knows the heart. And if you ain't got right with your brother, actually on the inside, you can hang up God ever forgiving you of any of your sins, son. You ain't going to get it done. I really believe that's one of our hang-ups. I believe that's one of our big hang-ups. That unforgiven spirit toward those in the house of God. It's going to get tighter. In the book of Matthew 18, there was a story of a servant who failed to forgive his fellow servants after his master had forgiven him. Or went didn't have nothing to pay. Now I'm going to tell you right now, as a sinner, you don't have anything to pay, God, friend. You don't have a dime's worth of grace or credibility. You don't have a dime's worth of grace about you that merits anything God's given to you. Oh, yes, sir. And if you're going to get forgiven, you're going to have to go to your Father on that basis that you are worthless or to be in hell and have no merit of God ever forgiving you of anything. That man, that master forgave that man of three different sins against him, if I'm reading it correctly. Huh? His master forgave him. But his Lord, this man went to his own fellow servants, began to smite one, to beat another, and took another by the throat. Pay me what you owe me. After his master had forgiven him, yet he refused, my friend. He refused to forgive somebody else. Now I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about that. And his Lord was wroth with him and delivered him to the tormentors. That's why, hey, that's some of you's problem in here this morning. That's why you're tormented in your mind. You either haven't forgiven yourself or somebody else has said some little word to you that's ticked you off and you haven't forgiven them about it. Now I'm fixing probably to hair lip some of you right here. You remember when Brother Ball preached? You remember two or three times he mentioned that house of mine over there, Brother Mark? Most everybody in this church has been in that house. I'll tell you, some of you in here ain't walked in the door of it. And I'm going to tell you why you ain't walked in the door, if you got a problem with it. Come on now, children. Come back in the house. Come back in the house. I do believe if I was a member of a church and I'd given my pastor ground to build a new home on and helped him build it, rejoiced over it, that when it was completed, I'd certainly want to visit and just take a peek and see what it looked like. But I'm going to tell you why it ain't. Envy? Jealousy? Somebody else has got something that I want and ain't got it? Are you listening to me? Oh, yes, that's the target, buddy. That's it. Nail hammer been put on your nail head this morning, friend. Son, she's quiet. I know where I'm coming from. I've already talked to God about it till last night and this morning. And he said, it's all right, son. You're right on target. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, it doesn't matter whether that it's jealousy or unforgiveness toward me or toward my wife or toward your own child or toward a church member. If she's there, hang her up. Your prayers will never get answered from God. And that thing will torment you in your mind until you get her right with God. Amen. He said, I'll deliver you to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. If you ain't careful, friend, you know what will happen? You know what he's saying there? If you don't forgive your brother and sister in Christ, I'll call you in on the carpet and I'll require it of you. That which you owe God. He said, if you have that unforgiving attitude and fail to forgive, I will require it of you. Your trespasses against me, he said. Now I'm going to tell you something. You don't have 50 measures of barley to pay him with. You don't have any oil to give, friend. No, sir, you don't have any fire. You don't have a thing to pay God with. And if He calls you in on the carpet and reckons it up to you, you don't have a dime to pay for, my friend. But I'm going to tell you what He's going to do to you. Now listen carefully. So likewise shall my heavenly Father. He shall turn to tormentors till He should pay all that was due unto Him. So likewise, now this ain't Brother Hall, this is Bible. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts, He didn't say with your mouth. If you from your heart forgive not, not one person, forgive not every one his brother. Ain't talking about lost people, his brother. Their trespasses. I don't know about you, friend. I believe I'd get, to God, I believe I'd get her right, whatever it is. I'd give her, and mark her down. Somebody said, how do you know it's here? Because the verse of Scripture before it in the book of Ephesians tells me, my friend, to let all wrath and clamor and anger and bitterness be put away from you. Why? Because it grieves the Holy Ghost. And I've watched him grieved and grieved and grieved and quenched and quenched and grieved. And the reason is that way down deep in somebody's heart, they amen to God. They just ain't got right. They ain't just puked up everything that ought to come up between them and somebody in the house of God. Hey, we're having fun today, buddy. I am. I've got God all over me. Now, don't leave me. Same passage, same type scripture in Luke. Luke said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. I didn't say that, God did. And that's not talking about being belligerent. That's just simply talking about going to your brother and trying to set things right with your brother. Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. I'm going to tell you what a lot of folks do. They won't forgive somebody, but they won't go to them and try to get it right. Oh, no, sir. And I'm fixing to hit the next point on what that is in just a moment. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I'm going to tell you that if we go back to the first one, two, three, four words of that verse of Scripture, take heed to yourselves. Our Lord is saying, buddy, this is something you can take heed to. You've got a big problem if you don't forgive your brother their trespasses. You better take heed. And by the way, it is bound that offenses must come. And we're all clay. And we've all got a tongue and a mouth, friend, and a heart that's as wicked as the devil himself. I'm telling you, God put that there that we might keep harmony and peace in our hearts and peace in the house of God, that we might go on glorifying God and worshiping Him on Sundays in the house of God. Don't leave me now. If we're tender-hearted, we'll be long-suffering with people. I'm talking about being patient with others. And in doing that, we'll keep peace in the house of God. Quick-tempered people disturb peace. Criticisms and murmurings disturb peace. Taking matters into our own hands disturbs the peace in the house of God. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, you got any scripture for that? Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, Paul said, a prisoner of our Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And what does this do? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Son, we have a unity of the Spirit if we're children of God. We're all united together by the Holy Ghost of God. But I'm telling you that unity, my friend, can have turmoil and chaos, and it will, my friend. Oh, yes, unless we take heed to ourselves and learn to forgive one another in the house of God. I want to say fourthly, and I'm getting down where the rubber meets the road. If we're tender-hearted, we will not hold grudges. Brother Ricky, you know what the word
grudge says in Webster's Dictionary? To murmur or complain. And I'm going to tell you what James said about it in James chapter 1, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. James said, if you ain't got something good, say it out, somebody. Just shut up and keep your mouth shut. Vital thinking tongue sometimes. That's right. Learn to keep your mouth shut. That word grudge means a secret enmity. It means to murmur and complain. It means to be discontented at another's enjoyments or advantages. It means to envy one the possessions or the happiness which we desire for ourselves. If I understand that right, my friend, what it is saying is that we grudge, we hold grudges, we murmur and complain. If somebody has trespassed against us and it's not handled properly by going to that person, rebuking that person, and forgiving that person, then what happens is a grudge forms. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. And if you ain't right careful, when you start complaining and murmuring to somebody else around you or even in your own mind, what you're doing, you're conceiving lust. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, what, friend? When is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath, get the word, conceived. You know what the word conceived means? If you're a woman, if you don't, I mean, if you're an adult and don't, man, you're bad off. It means to conceive, means to be formed in the womb. But it also means to be framed in the mind. And I'm going to tell you what a lot of people have done. They've got something against somebody. They have got a little, they've got crossways about a little issue in the house of God. And I'm talking about in this house of God, friend. I ain't talking long distance today. They've gotten crossways about to somebody over a little issue in this church. And I'm going to tell you what you've done. You've sat around and you have conceived, you have framed lustful thoughts in your mind. Do you avoid anybody? Do you avoid anybody that's in this church or affiliated with this church? Showing up, friend. Brother Hall didn't come in on a load of pumpkins. And I'm looking, I'm surveying the whole thing, and it's starting to show up like a sore thumb. Right where it's at, what the problem is. And it ain't me, it ain't with me. You know where it's at. Hey, now I must warn you that when that lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin's finished, it bringeth forth death. I'm right on target. I've got her nailed right down. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. And it's had a hold on us for a long time. Just now come to surface. Just found it. For fact, just found it. Don't leave me now. We won't hold grudges. Now I'm going to say in closing, if we're tender-hearted, we'll be sensitive to sin, Brother Mark. A tender heart is very sensitive to our own sin. Are you listening? Now listen carefully. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. While I'm looking over at Miss Kim, I don't see her temples. I'm looking at Angie and I don't see their temples. My wife, I don't see their temples. You know why? Because their temples are conceived within their locks. I'm going to tell you what the thought is there. We'll be so sensitive to sin, my friend, that even when we're in a place of our own unnoticed around from anybody else. In other words, those temples are a place that go unnoticed by most people. And I think what it's saying there, that we'll even be tender-hearted and sensitive towards sin when we're in our own confined estate. You know, most people can put up a pretty good front on sin when they're out in public.
Right.
And oh, they can be around sin and they'll just get mad at it and get upset with it. Or right. Even that old unforgiven spirit, that grudge that's in there, don't seem to break a tear, don't seem to break a heart, bring a tear in anybody's life. I'm going to tell you why, friend. Hard-hearted people.
Amen.
God help us. God help us.
Amen.
To get enough grace about us to soften this thing right in here just a little bit. If we don't, I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to destroy. It's going to destroy the person involved. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Just like Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm full of sin." Do you think, my friend, that day God gave him such a divine revelation out in public? Do you think he was walking down Main Street? No, he was in his own solitary place meeting with God. And in his own solitary place, he saw the sin of his heart, and it caused him, it brought shame and disgrace, and he cried out to God for cleansing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being shamefaced. Being able to blush in private as well as in public. You ever blush in private over your sin? Does something that you've done ever cause you to weep when you're alone with God? Break your heart and cause you to weep? If you've lived for God, if you've lived for God very long, walked with Him very long, surely that nearness of His presence and the fact of your sin, how can you hold a grudge? How can you hold an unforgiven spirit? How can you not be kind when He's been brought so near to you? Hasn't He revealed that to you by now? Surely He has. If He hasn't before now, I'm satisfied He has this morning. Let's stand together, please.